Hello, this is Deborah Harper, president of Psych Journey. Welcome to the Psych Journey podcast, www.psychjourneypodcast.com. Women go to doctors twice as frequently as men, yet many of their complaints are not curable according to allopathic medicine. Conditions such as PMS, menopause, depression, and fatigue are most often controlled by pharmaceuticals, but studies now reveal that many of the standard drugs for these imbalances are fraught with horrible side effects. The Institute for Alternative Futures reported that stress is the contributing factor for 60 to 90% of the medical problems confronted by physicians, problems that mind-body therapies such as Qigong could easily eliminate without resorting to invasive interventions. Women are searching for economical and accessible solutions in healthcare for themselves and their families. Our guest, Ms. Deborah Davis, LACMAOM, author of Women's Qigong for Health and Longevity, a practical guide for women 40 and over, published by Shambhala, will teach us how to take care of our own well-being and heal common ailments without the use of expensive drugs or doctor visits. Deborah Davis, LACMAOM, has been an alternative healthcare practitioner for more than 25 years, specializing in women's health issues. She received her master's in acupuncture and oriental medicine from Santa Barbara College of Oriental Medicine. Her video, The Spirit of Qigong, was named one of the top three resources on the topic by Spirituality and Health magazine. Davis teaches Qigong at numerous conferences, health centers, and spas throughout the country. Visit her website, www.womensqigong.com. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, it's such a pleasure to speak with you. And boy, it was so wonderful to see something that was addressed at women over 40, which is my age group, and something that was so empowering and that we could do at home and really make our life so much better. So I really congratulate you on that.
Oh, great. Thanks. Yeah, most of the Qigong books are written by men or martial artists, and they don't really address women's bodies. But you know, we have a really different body than men.
Yeah, and so that's certainly true for mainline medicine, too, other than, mm-hmm. you know, take a pill, shut up.
Exactly. So I really felt it was important to write a book about women in the different stages as they age also.
Well, it really inspired me to, actually, I'm going to go out and find a teacher because it looks like fun and it was understandable. And you did a wonderful job of really connecting the dots of how it's all tied together. And it's just really empowering to think there's something we can do rather than, you know, patch, patch, patch.
Well, that's the purpose, really, mm-hmm. of Qigong, and what I'm interested in is teaching women how to take care of themselves.
Now, to start with this, many of us, and I'm sure I mispronounced the word, so pardon me for that, are really not familiar with what this is. Could you
exactly.
start off and give us an explanation?
Yeah, Qigong is a mind-body exercise which has been used for over 2,000 years in China for both health and longevity, and it's an entire system of self-healing which is comprised of three elements. The first element is deep abdominal breathing. The second are slow, gentle movements, very similar to Tai Chi. And the third is visualization. And Qi in Chinese means life force energy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the force in all living things that animates all things, humans, plants, animals. And Gong in Chinese means to work or cultivate. So Qigong is literally the cultivation of your own internal life force energy within you through these gentle breathing exercises.
And I think that's one thing that would really attract people to it, because sometimes I find it almost funny in a laugh or cry way. It's like with our very stressed work 90 hours, it's like, okay, now go to your meditation class, now go to your exercise class.
Right.
It's like, oh, hurry up and relax.
Hurry up and relax, exactly.
But this seems to combine all of them, and I like the fact that it is gentle movements, because I think as we get older, there's also a problem. Like, I remember when aerobics was so popular, gosh, here's a good way to injure yourself.
Yeah. Well, this is really an internal exercise, mm-hmm. so you're learning how to work with your own life force energy, to harness it, cultivate it, and then you can learn to move it to different parts of your body. Like if you had a backache, you could send your chi to your back and heal that. Or some people use it for healing very chronic and tough diseases like cancer.
And it also, you mentioned there's a lot of meditation, a lot of visualization. So it seems like if someone is also interested in developing their spirituality or their mindfulness, mm-hmm. that could also be incorporated as much as little as they choose. Is that correct?
Yes. Qigong is not just the gentle exercises. It also incorporates meditation, and there are different types of meditation that I talk about in my book for different personalities. As my Qigong master says to me, you know, Deborah, you need the artistic meditation because you're too emotional. You're a typical artist. So there's one for people like me, and there's ones for different stages if you're working with a chronic illness. And so you have meditation, you have the exercises, you also have self-massage, and also massage on different acupuncture points to stimulate your meridians and your energy throughout your body.
Mm-hmm. I had the pleasure of working in San Francisco for a number of years, and I would see a lot of what appeared to be very elderly but very healthy people doing mm-hmm. this in the park. So it also seems to me, even into our, if we're fortunate to live into our 80s or 90s, we could still be doing.
Oh, yes. When I was in China a few years ago, you know, after going across the ocean, it was, what, I don't know, 15-hour flight, mm-hmm. we got in at 6 in the morning. We went over to a park in Beijing, and there were people. It was amazing. All these elderly people were doing, besides Qigong and Tai Chi, they were also doing tango and salsa and
wow.
playing music.
How cool.
But I was stretching, and this woman, she must have been in her early 80s, came over, and she just stretched up her leg so it reached her ear and then looked over at me, and I was not stretched out that far, and she just laughed at me. It was amazing. They just will hang a leg over a fence while they're talking and having tea, and they're very into, it's like a social activity to exercise. And they all do it in the morning. I would say everybody from, it's mostly people in their 50s and older.
That reminds me of, because when I worked in San Francisco, I used to walk to work, and I walked up this hill on Stockton, which was like, you know, I could barely breathe going up, and I'd see all these little ladies in their 80s and 90s kind of jogging past me. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's incredible. And even around this country, I was in Boston a couple years ago, and I got up early, about 5:30, to go into the Commons, which is the park there in the middle of Boston, and I was the only one there with some, you know, drunk people hanging out mm-hmm. and also some older Chinese people doing their exercises. And it was really lovely to be joined by them and to do our Qigong in the morning in the midst of a city. So you can probably find it anywhere around this country.
And it's wonderful to think that it's over 2,000 years to do anything that has such a long and rich history mm-hmm. and would have been refined so much just by
yep.
practice.
Exactly. That Qigong, in ancient times it was called Dao Yin, mm-hmm. which were breathing and stretching exercise, which were developed for health and survival. And some of the early forms were created by observing animal behavior and their movement because people really wanted to mimic the movements of certain animals to embody their attributes, for example, like a tiger to mm-hmm. to attain the strength, or a monkey for agility. And Qigong has been mentioned in old medical texts, including the Bible of Chinese Medicine, which is called the Yellow Emperor's Classic of Internal Medicine, which was compiled back in the 1st and 2nd centuries B.C.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And here they recommend Dao Yin for treating various diseases like fever and different things.
It's so astounding.
Yeah, and even, I don't know if you got a chance to look at my book or my DVD, but I have the 6 healing sounds mm-hmm. on both of those, and they're also an example of ancient Taoist medical Qigong forms, which are still popular today. So it has been around for quite a while.
Yeah, just the history and the culture mm-hmm. and, gosh, something that's lasted that long is really worth looking into.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also say that it breaks into 4 main schools that have migrated to the West. Can you tell a little bit about that?
Okay. The martial arts school is probably the most well-known in China, or popular, rather. And martial artists use Qigong to increase their power and their force, mm-hmm. also to strengthen their ligaments and their joints. And the more accomplished martial artists can actually project their chi out their hand.
Wow.
So this energy comes out their hand, and they can topple an opponent without even touching them. So that's obviously something that martial artists want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And the hallmark of a superior fighter in China is somebody that develops both their physical strength and also their internal strength. Very much, if you ever seen the Shaolin Temple monks, they are an example of Qigong masters who are also probably the best martial artists in the world. And they're going around the world now and showing their, you know, doing more exhibition Qigong. But it's fascinating to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the Taoist school of Qigong. And this is more alchemical. And they're attuned to nature, and they use the energy of the universe and the planets and the stars to bring into your body, and also the earth energy. And also they incorporate mudras and healing sounds, like the six healing sounds that I mentioned earlier. And there's also a branch of Taoist Qigong that includes sexual Qigong, similar to Tantric, which Montauk Chia has made very popular in the U.S. And then the Buddhist form is basically, my teacher is Buddhist, so when I do my Qigong, he tells me to have an empty mind,
mm-hmm.
Free of distraction, very much like meditation. And the basic tenet is to have a strong body so your mind has a place to rest for deeper meditation. And then the fourth is medical Qigong, and this borrows from all the schools, and this is what I practice and what I've put in my book and DVD. It's all based on medical Qigong, and of course the purpose is to prevent and to heal disease.
Well, it's also very, very fascinating. I mean, your book is so rich on so many levels. It has the exercises and illustrations how to do it, but gives quite a bit on the culture and the history, and a very good introduction for those of us who aren't familiar of how traditional Chinese medicine has a very different view of health and medicine from traditional Western medicine. So could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, it's funny. When you say traditional Western medicine, what comes to my mind is herbal medicine and shamanism. Because they were really the traditional
mm-hmm.
medicines. But I know you're talking about allopathic. And allopathic medicine is really great first aid. So if somebody severs a leg, I don't want them to come to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to go to the ER. But allopathic medicine focuses on disease and symptoms and external pathogens. And they really separate the body into specialties. Like if you have something going on with your heart, you go to a cardiologist. Or if you're a urinary infection, you'd go to a urologist. And the TCM, which we call traditional Chinese medicine, really views the body as a whole. And we also don't separate the body, mind, and spirit. You know, we are a living being.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to look at the whole person. And everything is related. And I'll give you an example of this. If a woman comes into my clinic with PMS and has tender breasts and she's irritable and maybe has migraines, I don't just treat these symptoms separately. In Chinese medicine, she's what we'd call, she has stagnant liver qi.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of these symptoms are related and can be treated just by moving her liver energy in her body. And doesn't mean anything's wrong with her liver, it's just the energy has gotten stuck. And so it's very important to keep your energy moving. Because in Chinese medicine and Qigong and acupuncture, I guess when you have disease, it's because your energy is either not enough or you have excess energy or it's stuck. So that's what we're doing in Qigong and acupuncture, is moving the energy. So you have a smooth flow of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And also another difference is that the Chinese realize that excess emotions are considered disrupting factors. And each organ has been assigned a different emotion, both positive and negative, in the Chinese system. So like right now we're in the springtime, which is related to the liver and gallbladder. And those emotions are anger and depression. Versus, you know, having patience and
mm-hmm.
being flexible and gentle. So they really knew that you have to take into account the whole being for total health.
Well, this is absolutely fascinating. And how did you first become interested in studying Chinese medicine?
Well, Chinese medicine or Qigong?
Or both.
Okay. Well, Chinese medicine was interesting. I was a herbalist, a Western herbalist at the time, and a friend of mine said, you have to meet this herbalist down in Chinatown in New York City. And when I went up into his tenement, you know, it was really grungy. And as soon as I opened up the door, it was amazing. He had feng shui'd the whole place. And this was in the 80s. I had no idea what feng shui was. But all the corners were rounded, and he had tassels hanging in fish tanks. And the energy was amazing.
Wow.
And he sat down with me. In the first 5 minutes, he diagnosed me. He could tell that I don't limp, but I don't have cartilage in my right ankle because a pony had fallen me. I was in a cast for a year. And he knew exactly what had happened.
Wow.
And, yeah, and he didn't even take my pulse. This was just in our conversation like you and I are having. And then he said to me, I wanted to study herbs with him, and he said, well, you know, if somebody was having a heart attack right now, if by the time you boiled a cup of tea, he could be dead or she could be dead. In acupuncture, you can save them right away. And so the next day I went home and I signed up for acupuncture and started my acupuncture training. And in my training, that's when I did 1 year over in New York, and one of my classmates was a martial artist. And he took us down to Dojo in New York, which is a martial arts studio, to meet this Qigong master. And, of course, I'd never heard of Qigong then in the 80s. And I was expecting somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger. But this hobbled old man came out. He must have been he's very frail, and he's in his late 70s. And he lined us up against about a couple of feet from the wall. And then he just stopped, and he was about 20 feet from us, and he put out his palm and concentrated his energy. And then I felt this wave, just waves of energy coming in, and it just threw me back.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was thrown against the wall. And then the next person went down, we all went down like dominoes. And he didn't speak any English. He didn't say anything. But I was like, wow, I want to learn how to do this. So it was a year, the following year, I went to California to study more acupuncture. And one of my teachers was a Qigong master. So I asked him for a year to teach me Qigong. He just wouldn't teach anybody, not even for the school. And, you know, as the I Ching says, perseverance further, I kept bugging him. And then finally, after a year, he taught me one Qigong exercise. And that exercise, I don't know if you saw in my book, it's called the three circle stance. And I had to stand, so you have to get in a squat and you hold your arms out like you're holding a big beach ball. And I had to stand for over half an hour before he would accept me as his apprentice.
Wow, so you really had initiation to go through.
That was the initiation, typical Chinese. And if you ever saw that great movie, The Peaceful Warrior, about Dan Millman's, did you see that?
No, but I will on your recommendation.
Okay, well, they have, actually, he's working with a man that's the kid that's Ding Dan in the movie. His teacher, Socrates, has him get up on this table and get in that stance. And he falls over onto the floor in like 3 minutes. I mean, it's very difficult. But afterwards, I had thighs like steel. I was very strong. So my training with Dr. Wong was in the early 90s. We started a Qigong clinic in Santa Barbara. And there I just saw such miraculous healing. You know, in the early 90s, nobody came to acupuncture. It was still considered like voodoo, so this energy medicine was even stranger. So we got people really that were coming to us as their last resort. And so I saw people that were only given a month or two to live, and from cancer, and other people that were infertile, and Epstein-Barr was really big then, chronic fatigue, you know, menopause. We saw everything. And just by doing these very simple breathing exercises, people healed themselves, even the people that were supposed to die from cancer. So that was really the defining moment for me of of really committing my life to Qigong.
Well, I'm so glad you shared this history. It's just, it seems like it was almost directed, and how wonderful you had that first experience, which kind of led you down your path.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think everybody has that. It's just paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned before that the Chinese medicine is over 2,000 years old, but mm-hmm. it's just been within the past 10, 20 years that it seems to really have taken off in the Bay Area, and we're usually ahead of the rest of the country in some ways. So why do you think it now it's taken off?
Well, I think mostly, one thing has been opened up more in China. Well, not now because it's being suppressed because Falun Gong, but, for so many years it was suppressed and was kept secret. But
mm-hmm.
As far as in this country, I think most people are really kind of tired of the expensive health system that we have. It's very disease-oriented and drug-oriented. You know, when you watch those commercials on TV.
Oh, aren't they horrible?
You know, the whole line of list of side effects, they
yeah.
sound worse than the original problem that the person had. I just have to laugh at that, but it's sad. And our medicine is not based on health. And really people now are just fed up with that, and they're ready to take more responsibility for their own health. And Chinese medicine really is concerned with prevention, and it's natural and incorporates, you know, acupuncture, massage, herbs, and qigong, and also has a spiritual component to it. So I think that's why people are really more interested in natural ways of healing. And I think this probably began back in the 60s and 70s, you know, when we went back to nature and using herbs, and people were going over to the East, both India, mostly India, and bringing back the spirituality. And also, I think you're about the same age that I am. Well, the women's movement really began there, and with the women's clinics. And
oh, your
our bodies,
body, ourselves,
there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Still have the first edition of that.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you ever went to those women's clinics.
Oh, of course I did. I went to San Francisco.
Exactly. I did in Boston. So, you know, it was very intimate. And I think that was the beginning of
mm-hmm.
this movement to take care of our own health.
Well, the other thing that I really found wonderful about your book and Chinese medicine in usual is it really the four stages of the woman's life and the fact that we do have stages. Well, one of the things I find more and more distressing in both medicine and our culture is it seems like there seems to be more movement, you know, put poison in your forehead, Botox yourself, get plastic surgery, let's pretend none of us go through a lifespan.
Yeah, yeah. I just, and the Chinese have a different view. Menopause in Chinese is called the second spring, which I just love. So they really feel it's a time to recreate yourself and evaluate your life. So that is much different than what we're taught here that, you know, you have to look like you're 30 and
mm-hmm.
erase all the wrinkles. And it's a really a different time in your life, as you know. A lot of women don't have the younger kids around the house. Many of the kids are off in college or away from the house. And it's the first time that a lot of women, when they're in their 50s and 60s, have time to themselves. And
yeah.
Time for their creativity. And
mm-hmm.
So it is an exciting time. I was actually working with a Mayan Indian years ago, and the older women down there, they are honored when they come into menopause. I thought, what a concept for all the wisdom that they have. And so they are really the wisdom keepers for the group. And I just love that idea.
Yeah, it was wonderful how it became clear that I don't think we can separate the medical away from how women are perceived over the course of their lifespan and appreciated. And you have the four stages, and I thought I just lived even the titles of the stages. Would you mind going through each stage with us?
Okay. Yeah, I called the younger women, which is really late 30s and into the 40s, as the dynamic woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a time, at least in my life, when I had the most energy, and you have a lot of energy to to work, you know, to have a full-time job and juggle your job with having kids and having a partner in your own life. And so it's really important during this time to really nourish yourself, to nourish
mm-hmm.
your blood, your reproductive organs. You're still menstruating. And emotionally, I think it's very important for women at this age to really take time for herself. Many women came to my clinic and said, well, I feel guilty for taking any time out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're an empty vessel, you have nothing to give to your kids or your family or your work. So it's a really important time to nourish yourself and to find that delicate balance of your mind, your body, your spirit, and the family, work, personal life. And so, of course, I have Qigong in that section for resolving PMS and for nourishing your blood and reproductive organs. And the next stage is called graceful passage, which is really perimenopause. And this is kind of a nebulous time because
mm-hmm.
some women can start it in their early 40s and some people don't start till their 50s. So it's any time in that age range where you want to really increase your energy, regulate your hormones, and, of course, calm the emotions.
Yeah, because those hormones kick in. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, it's
oh
like
my
teenage
God.
Without the acne, at
You've
least.
You got it. You know, most women, they're
going, who did I marry?
Yeah, their emotions are like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I had one woman call me this last Sunday. I also do psychic readings, and she called for a psychic reading because she said, I just had my period 2 weeks ago, and now I'm bleeding again. And I said, you don't need a psychic reading. Welcome to perimenopause.
Here comes the hot flashes and the night sweat.
This is just the beginning.
Yeah.
So then the next stage is the wise woman, and that's the women age 50 to 65. And so during this time with Qigong, you're dealing with menopause or postmenopausal symptoms. Many women have insomnia during this time. And it's a good time to build your energy reserves and also stimulate hormones. Because as you, many women I see in my clinic lose their libido and their sexual drive. So
mm-hmm.
in my book, I talk about another energy center, which I haven't seen in any other books, which is a woman's energy center called the uterine palace. And it's right above our pubic bone.
Yeah, I like the pictures
yeah.
you had that really explained it. It made a lot of sense once I read it.
Yeah, and when I teach women Qigong, most women go, oh, yes, this feels more like my energy center.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you've had a hysterectomy or never had kids, you still feel the energy. You have the energetic imprint there. And so this is the energy center that we want to stimulate for keeping the reproductive energy, the organs healthy, and also keeping our libido up. And also it can help with a slower decline of hormones if you stimulate this energy center called the uterine palace. So that's what I talk about in the wise woman. And then the last stage is the sage woman, and this is from 65 and older. And here, you know, the most important thing is to have healthy bones and to have a healthy heart, and also balance. Many women lose their balance and coordination as they get older. So I have exercises to help you with your balance so you can not fall and break your hip, and you know, which I see with a lot of older women. And I think, of course, in the sage woman, that the most important focus is the spiritual focus.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, mortality, you're faced with your mortality then. So it's Qigong, as I said before, is not just exercises, but really looking at your spiritual life and balancing the body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah, I appreciate so much you sharing that, because I think people can get a sense right there of how empowering this is and how respectful of women, and based upon our experiences.
Yeah, because we don't have the same body. You know, we have different needs when we're 40 versus
mm-hmm.
70. You know, so that's why I think it's very important to have different Qigong programs as you age.
And you broke it down even more specifically in your book, where people could focus on a particular problem and, along with your DVD, really get a sense of the exercises. So could you also talk a little bit about the daily time commitment it would require?
Okay, yeah. Well, you can do it. I like doing Qigong in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, because most of us are so stressed out and we're running from thing to thing, to do a minimum of 15 minutes. I usually do 40 minutes or so in the morning. And then instead of grabbing lattes or sugar in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
you can also do even 10 or 15 minutes again. Now, if you have cancer, some really chronic illness, then it's good to do an hour a day or more. So it really depends. I just tell women, whatever, fit it into your schedule, whatever works for you. And you know, the more, of course, the more Qigong you do, you'll get stronger.
And I think another thing that is really even more in these hard economic times going to appeal to people is, you know, the common joke, everyone goes out in January and spends hundreds or thousands of dollars on these exercise machines, which then, you know, they use to hang their clothes on.
Right.
Guilty. You know, don't need to look at it as I guiltily walk by.
Yeah, I have one of those too, my Pilates machine.
Yeah.
So,
looks good on the commercials.
Yeah, so that's the wonderful thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to buy anything. You don't need any tools or equipment. And anybody can do it. I've taught bedridden people, women in their 90s, and triathletes. So it doesn't matter what your fitness level is or your age, anybody can do Qigong.
And if they buy the DVD with your book, they don't even, I mean, they might not be fortunate to be in, live in an area where there's a teacher. All they need is the commitment of the book and the DVD, and they're set to go. That's very cheap in terms of physical and mental health.
Yeah, the DVD, too, is for both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I have some exercises that are in the book, it's a whole different practice, which I based around the five elements of Chinese medicine. So it teaches, you don't have to know anything about Qigong. It teaches the basic Qigong breathing, the warm-ups, and then has different exercises for different organ systems and for healing the emotions. And so it's a whole program in itself.
That's
and I just
wonderful.
Did want to mention, too, in my book, I have separate chapters for PMS and menopause and depression, insomnia, breast health and cancer, heart health and hypertension, osteoporosis, and also sexual vitality.
Yeah, so someone, if they had a particular challenge, could focus in on that. And then
exactly, yeah.
And the sound things, I think, were pretty new to people and would be very interesting to learn a little more about.
Yeah, the sounds, I actually put them on my website so people
can go
and just check out the healing sounds. And these are used to detoxify the organs both physically and emotionally. So now we're in springtime, happy spring. And so this is when a lot of people do liver cleanses. So it's really would be beneficial to do the wood element exercises on my DVD. And I also talk about this in my book. And this will help to detoxify the liver and your gallbladder.
And the whole sound thing, another thing that came to mind is, because these sounds would be so healing, if we just became more aware that for our bodies, if we have the TV on all the time or CNN on all the time, it's just who killed who and what horrible things are happening and horns honking outside and the constant noise we all deal with, I can't imagine this is good for our mental or physical health.
No, it's not. It's noise and also it's energy. Emotions
mm-hmm.
are energy, so you're being bombarded with all this energy that's negative.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's been a lot of research about the effect of positive emotions. And so it's really important to just keep your energy and your emotions moving and express out your, like if you're angry, express it out in a good way is through Qigong. There's one exercise that menopausal women and women with PMS love. It's called Push the Mountain, and it's on my DVD and book. And this just releases any anger or frustration or anything, any place where you're feeling stuck, it just releases
mm-hmm.
it all, and it's a wonderful exercise.
Yeah, I was so glad that you addressed depression and also, I think, anxiety, because
mm-hmm.
it seems like from many interviews I did, depression and anxiety are almost an epidemic.
They are, yeah. I have a chapter in my book talking about depression because I really think that, well, you're a psychologist, aren't you? That,
no, I'm not.
Okay.
I interview a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, depression, I think it's become an epidemic in this society because we've really lost our purpose in life and lost connection with our soul.
I agree.
And our spirituality.
And nature. And each other.
Exactly. And so I think it's so important that we address this. And they have in China, you know, the first Chinese doctors were really among the first to acknowledge that your state of mind impacts your health and that lingering emotions can hamper your organs and cause disease if they're not expressed outwards. So that's what Qigong does, is helps you to express the emotions out and to balance your emotional and physical energies and mental energies in your body.
Well, I can honestly not recommend your book and your DVD highly enough. And I wish that more mainstream mental health professionals and doctors were aware of both Chinese medicine and these techniques, because I think it would be of great benefit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's slowly coming on. You know, his name, Dr. Oz, on Oprah, he even showed some Qigong. So I was like, yes, finally. If it hits Oprah, then it will be introduced to the world. But Qigong is very powerful, and it's been used for a long time. And I have seen so many people. I've worked a lot with women that have been on their deathbed with cancer, and they are still in remission 10, 15 years later.
That's fantastic.
And it's not just one instance, but many women. And so I know it's very powerful and profound. And even though they're very simple, they're very profound exercises.
Well, it's fascinating how it seems to boil down to things that are the most simple are often the most effective.
Yes, so, this is something that we need to do, is simplify in our life.
Yes, and go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any questions I have not asked you that you would like to address?
I don't really think so. I think we pretty much covered everything. Let me see, is there anything? No, just that my DVD is available for both men and women, and my book definitely is for women in their late 30s and 40s onwards.
Well, I had a question that just came to mind. Do you have any books or materials for children, or how early in life would you suggest introducing children to this and training them in it?
Well, I think it's, you know, children have a lot of chi.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need it as much as we do when we're adults. I think if you start in your 20s, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I did teach at a middle school. I've taught, you know, a bunch of children. And what was empowering for them was to see how they're, first of all, how they can ground themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, give you an example. One guy was making a lot of trouble in the class. He was a big bully that the teacher had warned me about. And so I brought him up to the front, and I just told him to get into this stance, the three-circle stance I told you about earlier. And I told him to just be as strong as he could, and then I pushed him right over, which is very, you know, humiliating for a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had him just ground his energy. Imagine that he had taproot going down from his body, from the base of his spine and his feet into the ground, and to really get that sense of being grounded and centered. And then when he was ready, I tried to topple him, and he was solid as a rock. So he got to really see, and all the kids did, how important it is to be grounded and centered in your life so people can't topple you over.
I think that's great. Now, I also thought, I mean, it could be a stretch, but it came to my mind, there seems to be such an epidemic of ADHD, which they have all the chi, but they can't direct it.
They don't know how to focus it.
Yeah, and we just give them drugs.
Exactly, which I'm really against.
Yeah.
So that is really, besides having sugar-laden diets, it's really important to understand their use of chi and their use of their energy. And that's what I do when I go in and teach the kids.
Yeah, and if they see the adults in their life managing it better, then maybe, you know, they just pick it up by how we live with them.
Yeah. The other thing I did in that one classroom, which was fun, was one kid had a broken, I guess he had broken one of his bones in his leg, so he had a cast. And I brought everybody up around him, and we all just centered our energy and projected our chi into his broken bone. And he could feel the healing. He felt it at
warmth. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. So that was, he could really feel it. Everybody felt the energy shift in the room. So it's things like that where you can really use the chi and experience. I think I talk about it in my chapter Exploring Chi in my book, exercises that you can do with kids and your family about feeling your own chi, and then some chi gung or chi exercises that you can do about giving chi to another person or sending different light and colors into another person for healing, and they can guess the color. So there's a lot of fun things you can do with your family.
Yeah, that would be a wonderful thing to introduce the kids for. Well, like I said, I recommend both your book and your DVD very highly. Could you please give our listeners again the name of your book and the URL of your website?
Okay, my name of the book is Women's Qigong for Health and Longevity, A Practical Guide for Women 40 and Older. And my DVD is called The Spirit of Qigong, Chinese Exercises for Longevity. And my website is www.womensqigong, that's spelled womensqigong.com, or just my name, which is Deborah Davis, Deborah Davis.com. And I also have a 800 number, which is 800-723-6966. So it's 800-723-6966.
Wonderful. Well, Deborah, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the Sick Journey podcast.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for your interest in Qigong, and remember to breathe.
Well, yeah, I'm going to go find a class.
Great.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Take care.